pick a window.
Oh, wow. I don't know about the costume, but that's some set of wheels.
Hi, I'm Marv Wolfman, and you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
You're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast, and I am your host, the radioactive professor of all things comic book, J.C. Carter. Joining me today on the show, my super friends... In the north, our punk pixie, Miss Jocelyn Christensen.
Hi, guys.
Stepping out of the shadows, our gamer goth, Miss Patricia Heltman.
I made it.
And on the bridge of his own private enterprise, our very own Admiral James Tiberius Batman Laird Jeff Bell.
You can't try that in a small town.
Oh, man, that has been fun the last couple of days. TikTok has ripped that guy's video apart. Yeah.
Which one of you was it that posted he also has a song about leaving a small town? Wasn't it one of the two of you on Facebook?
I don't think it was me.
No?
No, it wasn't me.
Oh, you should have claimed credit for it. Somebody on my timeline posted a screenshot of a single cover, and it's a song about leaving a small town because of how bad it sucks.
There's too many lynchings. I don't have time.
I guess something. Oh, what a moron. Seriously?
Yeah.
You know, he's been inside his sister.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He claimed that, all the footage in his video of protests were from in the United States. And this one girl on TikTok broke it down and showed that a good chunk of them were from Ukraine and from Quebec.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
there's so much. Like, we could honestly talk probably for the entire hour about that music video and that whole song.
I don't care.
I've broken it down so many times. I've seen that TikTok. Yep. Somebody else pointed out. Oh, it was big. Now I've lost it. But yeah, he's just
garbage.
Oh, I know what it was. The courthouse that he stands in front of has been the site of three lynchings. I think it was three. Two, I remember 100%. So, like,
one of the worst things that happened in that area and has been talked about by other people. I've heard it on multiple podcasts. This guy was accused by a woman. It was a black guy. He was accused by a white woman of raping her. There was no evidence that it happened. The sheriff came and got him, locked him up so he could do the investigation, right? The mob showed up. The sheriff let them take him out. They beat him to death with a hammer and then dragged his body through the town and then back to the courthouse and strung him up.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was like, what? So everybody could see it. And it's like, what the fuck? And then they come to find out, no, it never happened.
Yeah.
She was lying. And I'm like, wow, what the fuck is going on in that town? Anyway, I wanted to give a follow up to a story from last week about that QAnon movie. What's it called? Something Freedom. I don't fucking know anymore.
Something Freedom. Yeah. That's what I know it as.
Goddamn woke.
Goddamn woke.
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom. That's it. The Sound of Freedom. They have been astroturfing their attendance, meaning that the filmmakers and probably what's his name, the star, have been buying out showings, or QAnon folks have been buying out showings. A woman who was going to see these movies saw that it was sold out, and she kind of snuck in while she was on her way to see her movie. She kind of peeked her head in. The theaters were empty. Empty. So where we saw last week that it was number two in the box office, it's completely artificial. There aren't physical bodies going to see this movie.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was surprised because I'm like, I've heard zero things about this movie. It just showed up.
Yeah.
And like, it's number two. I'm like, no one's talking about it. I haven't seen any trailers.
Right.
No, like, this is a common practice among those who just want to get attention and they don't want to pay for marketing. So instead, they put all their money that they would have put into a marketing campaign into buying out something. We used to see this a lot in publishing. Books would make the New York Times bestseller list because the author had enough money that they bought like crates of these books, and just a ton of them, so that they would hit the level that they were now New York Times bestseller. And then the guy had to give all of his books away, you know, because there was no way he could resell them, because nobody really fucking cared. But he was number one on the New York Times bestseller or something like that. Same thing's happening with this with that movie, from what I'm understanding, is that they're astroturfing so that it's basically, you know, they want you. It's astroturfing is when you're artificially creating grassroots.
Right, right.
Since they did no marketing, it was cheaper for them to buy out a movie theater.
Well, and apparently, according to NPR, a big part of its success is that Jim Caviezel comes on at the end of this movie and urges viewers to buy more tickets so other people can see it and help end child trafficking. It's a model distributor Angel Studios calls Pay It Forward.
Oh, how nice. Yeah, fuck those guys.
Yeah, you should come see our movie, and then you should go buy more tickets even if you don't want to go again.
Yep,
so and that other people can go see it.
And that's what's happening is they're buying these tickets, and then the movie theater's reporting them as sold out.
Right.
The showing is sold out, so yeah.
Bullshit. It's all bullshit. Yeah.
It is. It's complete bullshit. And I just wanted to follow that up, because last week we reported it was the number two movie in the box office numbers, and I was like, that's crazy that's the number two movie. And then found out, oh, it was crazy that it was a number two movie. It actually didn't happen.
In fact, I believe I am woke to this bullshit.
Yeah, I am also woke to this bullshit now. Anybody do anything exciting this week you want to talk about?
I mean, I don't know how exciting it was, but I went on a little mini vacay to the grand city of Idaho Falls. And I use the word city very lightly in this situation.
Is that a sundown town? What?
No, it's not a sundown town. But it was, I don't know what I expected out of it, but we had fun. We went up, there's a couple of different museums up there that were really great, and we just needed a little getaway. So we did that, and it was fun.
How long is the drive?
About two and a half hours. It's not bad. Not bad at all. It was reasonably close enough. And if you get to Pocatello, my mini-me will disagree, but you need to stop at the Museum of Clean, because that was weird. So weird. It was just cleaning supplies and old vacuum cleaners. And somehow it was three floors and fascinating.
I love that.
Yeah.
Old vacuum cleaners? That sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. That's in Pocatello. That's like an hour and a half. Go up, buy your Powerball ticket, go to the Museum of Clean. There's a brewery just around the corner that was really delightful. There you go.
What's that like to take mini vacays? I I don't understand that. yeah.
Ugh. How about everybody else, though?
Anybody else do anything exciting?
Oh, you know, I woke up woke for another day in a long, long line of woke wakings.
I woke every morning.
Yeah.
That's last week.
Yeah. That's about it. Mark myself safe from Ben Shapiro lighting Barbies on fire. It's been a week, is what I'm saying.
Again, another favorite thing from this week was Ben Shapiro lighting Barbies on fire.
Oh my hell.
My daughter.
Will he go away ever? I just need him to go away.
Oh, God, no. No, he'll never go away.
Gross.
No. No more so than Tucker Carlson. The fucker may have gotten fired from Fox News, but he's never going to go away.
Aww.
Not until they drop dead. You know, that's it. When did Rush Limbaugh go away? When he finally dropped dead.
When he finally died.
Yeah, that was it. Up until then, he was still spewing vitriol and getting medals of freedom from Donald Trump up until the day he died, basically. No. Yeah, it's like, you know, these fuckers will be around until they die, and that's what's wrong with this country. that and, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene showing porn in Congress.
More on that on yesterday's Left Show?
No, didn't make the cut. There's so much shitty news.
There's a lot worse going on, I guess.
All I'm saying is Hunter Biden's a baller. Wow. Yeah. And you know what? Fuck it. That family's got great genetics.
Yeah.
Assholes. Hunter Biden, not small.
No.
Fair enough.
What do I need to do? Do I need to go into business in the Ukraine and do some cocaine?
Maybe.
You know what Joe's packing. Yeah. All right, look, we're left showing. I'm sorry, this is my fault. Let's move on.
It's oh so much fun here in the small town.
Dear Lord.
Hunter Biden's like, it's not a small town.
Let's dive into some news.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Justice,
Tony Bennett has passed away at 96 years old. You know what else Tony Bennett did when he was old?
What's that?
He got a number one album when he was 85.
Yep.
He did.
I'm 50. I can't work a shift without knee braces. Jesus Christ.
And his album, I picked up the album, and it's he is every pop star that at the time came and sang with him, basically did a duet with him, and it's a really great album, beautiful album, yeah.
I mean, what do you say?
96 is the age to pass because you know the Queen, Tony Bennett, what's his name, Alan Arkin, all 96, and my mother, all 96. Passing this year, so yeah.
It's fucking Tony Bennett, man. I'm not gonna read this decades long article.
I know.
But you know, I mean, he's always been there. In I know that I have let's call them memories of happy times with Bennett playing in the background.
Yeah.
Pat got
that's
me.
A good,
Pat,
it's a Pat good soundtrack to make your porno with. Yeah.
Spell it out. Just spell it on out, guys.
I'll be the same kind of sad, you know, when what's his name dies.
What's his name?
The guy who sings Shaft. I forgot his name all of a sudden.
Oh, Barry White.
Barry White. Not Barry White. Yeah, same as Barry White. Boom. Boom.
You said that, and then I was like, oh, the guy who voices Chef on South Park.
No, it's Isaac Hayes.
That was my connection somehow.
Yeah.
No, it's not Barry White who does Shaft. It's the guy who voices Chef on South Park. I can't remember his name.
Isaac Hayes. Isaac Hayes is Shaft.
Isaac Hayes is Shaft. But he and Barry White are very similar in their what they sing about. And,
they have deep voices, and they sing
and
about
deep voices. Yeah.
Oh, about yeah. Making sing love on sex. Shag carpet.
Yep.
Courvoisier. Ray Price. This one's tricky. He's an innovator in independent film. He's a behind-the-scenes guy. But he's passed away at the age of 75, possibly due to having such a ridiculous haircut. Anyway, he's a film innovator, served as president of the American Zoetrope in First Look Pictures. As well as a marketing and distribution executive for companies, including Landmark Theaters, which I used to work for, and Trimark. It says in the article that throughout his career, Price displayed an encyclopedic knowledge of film, mentored generations of executives, and leaned towards the outrageous in the ways he lured audiences to sample challenging movies. When I worked for Landmark, you know, this dude had films coming through. And Landmark was, I mean, you're not going to see a lot of these movies, you know, anywhere but an art house film. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
And so, yeah, anyway.
But because he was willing to bring in, there were certain foreign films he was willing to bring in, and they would never have gotten the attention of American audiences, or even, and especially the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences, who nominated several of his, of the movies he brought over to the States for awards for Best Foreign Film. So he was a mover and shaker for people who normally you wouldn't have ever, they had no chance of getting their film shown in America, but Ray Price made sure they did.
So you're looking at like the 90s, which was honestly a golden age for independent film.
Oh yeah. And that was the golden age. That was the Renaissance for independent film.
Yeah. He put together distribution and marketing for movies. I remember Gas, Food, Lodging, One False Move, mm-hmm. Secret of Rowan Inish, Scent of Green Papaya, mm-hmm. Bobcat Goldthwait's Shakes the Clown, Stacey Cochran's My New Gun, Mira Nair's Kama Sutra. I don't know if you guys remember that one or not. I certainly do. I may have seen it more than once.
With Barry White in the background?
Da-da-dum. Dum. Da-da-dum. Done. I'm gonna do that every time. I shot Andy Warhol, Eve's Bayou, Chinese Box, Natalie's Cube. That was if you haven't seen Cube, Vincenzo Natali's Cube from 1997. Have an edible, settle in, enjoy that odd one.
Yes.
Anyway, yeah, but I mean, you also look at his influence in movies like The Duelists, The Great Santini, Melvin and Howard, Blowout, and The Big Picture. You remember The Big Picture?
Yep.
Yeah. So this dude, no one knows who he is, but man, he was fucking everywhere in great film for decades. And I'm sad that he's gone because... per our earlier conversation, 75 doesn't seem that old anymore.
No, it does not.
No, it does not. Speaking of things that are dying, Sophia Viagra and her husband, Joe Manganiello, are reportedly divorcing after 7 years of marriage.
You can only play D&D so much. Yeah.
Yeah, they issued a statement through their representatives about their separation. They still love each other, they say. They've just asked for some privacy amid the news of the separation. To quote, we've made the difficult decision to divorce. As two people that love and care for one another very much, we politely ask for respect of our privacy at this time as we navigate this new phase of our lives. Honestly, I don't know who to feel worse for. On the one hand, Joe Manganiello is losing Sophia Viagra.
Yeah.
And that's really sad for him. But on the other hand, Sophia Viagra is losing Joe Manganiello, who is also ridiculously hot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? It's like I haven't been this conflicted since Brad and Angelina split.
Yeah.
It's a true story.
And I'm saying on that one, I probably lean a little more towards Brad. What are you going to do? I don't know. Did you guys see Bullet Train yet?
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yet.
Hi, Brad Pitt. He still got it.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. That movie was great in theaters. It was awesome.
Oddly, something that I want to see, and I don't know why I'm throwing this out now, is I would love to see like Brad Pitt do a new action movie just with Kate Beckinsale from her character from Jolt. Did you guys see Jolt?
I didn't.
Oh, fuck. What a movie. I think it's free on Amazon Prime if you got it. But that one was very good. That'd be fun. Anyway, moving on with the news. The Perils of Artificial Intelligence to the Entertainment Industry came to San Diego Comic-Con on Saturday with SAG-AFTRA National Executive Director Duncan Crabtree Ireland joining a panel of voice actors organized by NAVA, the National Association of voice actors to discuss the specific hazards AI is already posing to the profession. Mm-hmm. We've got to reject this idea that this is something that's going to happen to us and we can't say anything about it, Crabtree Ireland said at the panel, which was about whether AI could devastate the entertainment industry. Quote, I think it definitely could. The question is whether we're going to let it happen. So, you know, the deep fakes that I hear, voice actors are in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very frustrating. Also news from San Diego Comic-Con, Jamie Lee Curtis got her crowd a little fired up with a plea to fight climate change. We're fucking the world, she said. She enjoyed the celebratory moment just before taking the stage at San Diego Comic-Con on Friday to promote Mother Nature, which is her first graphic novel and takes aim at the forces contributing to climate change. Quote, I saw this book in print 2 hours ago for the first time, said Jamie Lee Curtis, also hot, by the way, who was joined on stage by her co-writer Russell Goldman and the artist Carl Stevens. Quoting some more, I've seen it in a PDF form and it's so thrilling. She didn't waste time emphasizing the project's ecologically minded message. We're fucking the world. There is a possibility of change, but we're going to have to do it. And I'm really thrilled to see how enthusiastic you guys are for this beautiful piece of work that Carl has made for us. You know, because she's a deferential writer.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet lady. You know, she dressed up in World of Warcraft for one of her kids' weddings because it was themed.
Yep, that was the theme.
And I just think that's badass. Anyway, yeah, good little article, good little write-up, couple of things, got some video on there. Pop over to thecomicbookpodcast.com, and you could take a longer read at this one. But, yeah, that's it for the news.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're talking moving pictures.
Came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job,
not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs
and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner?
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Elena Huffman, Abaddon on Supernatural, and you are listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
There is nothing wrong with your television. Do not attempt to adjust the picture. We are now controlling the transmission. We control the horizontal and the vertical. We can deluge you with 1,000 channels or expand one single image to crystal clarity and beyond. Please stand by.
So what awesome or not so awesome shows have you guys been watching this week? Pat?
I started Futurama over.
That's a good one.
I guess they're releasing a new season.
Yep.
So I recently subscribed to Hulu and Spotify because I was able to get a student discount. And Hulu, it's like first thing it does when it opens up is play a Futurama trailer. And I'm like, fuck yeah, I'm in.
Push the chips.
It's the only thing I've been binge watching all week. And then I went and saw Oppenheimer.
How was that? Tonight.
It's really good. It's long, though.
I know. I saw it's 3 hours.
It's 3 hours, yeah. And that doesn't include trailer time. So you're going to be in the theater for almost 4 hours.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. So when you do it, be ready for it.
It's a challenge for the bladder and kidneys. That's what it is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. It's really good, though. It's really worth it to see. But I don't know. I don't think I would watch it in theaters again. just because that was a little rough trying to sit there for 3 hours in a chair. Mm-hmm. That, you know, those chairs I always thought were so comfortable and they're so great. They're not. And then for a long time, you realize that in the, like, the lack of comfort they have in them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. And it's like, especially if you're like sitting next to someone and you're like trying to cuddle and stuff, like that doesn't help either. Cause like there's the big bar in the middle and it's, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. It's a really good movie though. Go see it. It's well worth it.
Awesome. Awesome. I want to go see that one. And I saw people were doing back-to-back screenings of that and Barbie this weekend.
Barbenheimer.
I don't know how they could sit there that long. I don't understand that.
You go. Braxton's doing it,
mm-hmm.
and they're doing. I think they're doing Oppenheimer in the morning, first matinee, and then they're gonna go like get food.
Yeah,
and then they're gonna come back and they're gonna see the Barbie.
Okay, I mean maybe I could do that.
I mean, Angus and I did a triple feature of Marvel movies a little while ago, and it was like that. We got through the first couple and we're like, oh, we got to get something to eat. And we went and got some food and stuff because it was rough, you know?
Yeah. I can't imagine like Charles back in the day would go to those 24-hour screenings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, uh-uh.
We did it. The last marathon screening I went to was Lord of the Rings. When Return of the King came out, they did the extended versions of Two Towers and Fellowship right before it.
Oh, boy.
But because we had to wait in line outside all night in, as you may recall, the middle of December.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't slept. So watched all of Fellowship because I was going to do it, God damn it. And I slept through mm-hmm. Two Towers. Two Towers is my favorite one. And aww. and then woke up for Return of the King. And that was a long 30 some odd hours building to that point. But pretty yeah. cool.
Right.
Had a good time.
Right.
Yeah. I would do a marathon of like the TOS movies.
Oh,
one
yeah.
1 through 6. I would absolutely sit through that.
Yeah.
I could do that. Split them into like 3 chunks. So yeah. You got time to get meals. And yeah, you could do it.
Yep. Or you do it at one of those theaters that has food.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And it's because you know where all the, you know where all the boring parts are, so you can go and pee whenever you need to.
I know.
There you go.
I could take a really long nap during Star Trek V.
Hey, you watch it. I love that movie.
And of course, Star Trek, the motion picture, I know right when to take a good long, you know, a good little power nap is when they do that in extended flyby of the Enterprise.
Yeah. No, I can't miss that. It's when, for me, they're looking at the thing,
mm-hmm.
and when they've gone in and they go to everybody's face over and over and over again, and oh, for yeah. some reason they seem to reuse this little clip of Sulu.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, oh my. And over and over and over again, to the point that when I took Tiffany to it, she couldn't stop laughing
yeah.
at that, because they all were making the same face, doing the same thing for, I think it was like a 3-minute segment.
Mm-hmm.
The thing in space, face, face, thing in space, more face, 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 Sulu. Oh? Just like,
over and over again.
Fuck, man.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
It is.
How about you, Jess? Anything to report?
Nothing significant, no, because we were traveling, so there was crappy television on. We watched Food Network, and then I got home and we watched Suits. So,
okay,
nothing exciting over here.
Nothing exciting, Mr. Jeff.
Let's do it in this order.
Okay.
The World Cup.
Yes,
oh. I've seen almost every game so far.
Mm.
There's some last night that aren't up for the replay watch yet, but I have something to report.
Mm-hmm.
That made me laugh, and it's probably just wildly inappropriate, and I don't care today for some reason, but we watched USA versus Vietnam.
Yes, I watched that one as well.
And when you were on the long shots,
Yes.
Looking down on the field, did it not look like a bunch of normal-sized folks playing with kids? The USA team is tall.
They're all very tall.
The Vietnam team is, like, not tall. And my favorite, when I mean, and let me tell you something. This was Fowlapalooza, mm-hmm. you know, and I don't know what the fuck the refs were doing. He
and
says,
Flopapalooza.
Yeah.
If you wanted a foul called, you had to flop. And the Vietnamese team figured that out, and they started flopping hard to get fouls called. Now, mind you, in many cases, those fouls were legitimate. But, yeah. But the Vietnamese team did take it hard when one of the players, she got right up. They were all right up in there. And the goalkeeper, their goalkeeper, who is adult size, she's 5'11". So she's a mutant. And she came up to get the ball. And her knee went right into the chest of one of her fellow players and took her out.
Yeah,
I mean it was hard. It was, you could hear the impact. It was a hard hit. I was like, damn.
But I mean, it was some of these fouls were the Vietnamese just like hard cross checking into the American girls.
Yeah,
who'd stutter step and turn around like, did you hit me? Like it was.
All the American girls, they'd go down and they just get up quickly, kind of, you know, not even dust themselves off, just get up, kind of shake it off and go back into playing. They never flopped. They never really caused any. They never really looked like they were injured.
Yeah,
it was crazy. And then, I mean, were you surprised every time, the few times we got to see the American goalkeeper? Because they kept
We were coming into the last 10 minutes or so, and I realized, I'm like, I don't know the goalkeeper's name.
Yeah,
because nobody has said it this game.
Because they only got down there like
twice.
I think a total of four times in the entire game. Yeah,
wow. You know, the other cool game.
The American team was on top of the Vietnamese goal the entire game.
She, by
insane.
The way, that Vietnamese goalie.
Oh,
that's talent on feet, man. She can play.
She was overworked. That's for damn sure. But she did the whole game.
Yep.
You know, they're substituting everybody else, but she did the whole game and only allowed three goals when
probably
I
only
thought they were
going
to have like eight.
Yep. The other one that I really enjoyed was New Zealand versus the Netherlands.
Oh.
Where New Zealand upset the fuck out of that game.
Oh, boy.
1-0. Great game. I mean, they're all just great. I've got World Cup playing at the shop, and then I come home and actually watch it, and do that. So World Cup, yay! Much preferred this to you know men's World Cup.
Men's World Cup, yeah.
Whatever.
I prefer the women's World Cup,
especially the USA team. Okay, so we're not doing sports news, or else I'd start talking about Messi and his debut down in Florida. So Justified City Primeval dropped two episodes.
Yes.
And is fucking great. Fucking great. Like, I don't know what I was worried. I didn't know what fucking tone they'd take. First episode was great. Actually had quite a few laughs in it. Second episode was a lot more serious. You know, it was just great. Just great. Justified. City Primeval. Over there I think you can get it on the Hulu.
Mm-hmm. It is on the Hulu.
Yep.
Do they have Justified on the Hulu?
Yep.
Okay. Because I have to confess, never saw Justified because it came out when I had no cable.
Ah.
And the entire time I had no cable. And it was like, everybody's talking about Justified. I'm like, God, I wish I could watch that.
I mean, it's worth it just to watch the first episode, season one, episode one, mm-hmm. just to know who the fuck Raylan is.
Yeah.
But City Primeval doesn't plug into regular Justified.
Okay.
But who he is and what he's all about is contained in that pilot episode. So that one might be worth watching.
Might be. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm coming to the end of my MASH run, so I got to have something else to watch in my binging.
Oh, you're going
to
like it. It's fucking brilliant. It's great. Lots of Nazis get punched.
I love that.
Yep.
I love that.
Let's see. And then Star Trek, Strange New Worlds.
Yes.
That was, they dropped an episode a couple days early. Thank you, by the way, for the text. Or I never would have. I wouldn't have known until today.
I knew you wouldn't know, and I was like, I got to let people know. I learned it through my Star Trek fan group.
Yeah.
The local starship here, the USS Kelly. They sent out a big thing saying, "Hey, they just dropped this because they screened the episode at San Diego Comic-Con and decided they needed to drop it today so it wouldn't get spoiled by everybody who's at San Diego Comic-Con." Because they screened this was a special episode. This was the crossover between Strange New Worlds and Lower Decks.
That explains it, because I saw your post and I saw a couple of other people's posts, and everybody was really excited and shocked.
Oh yeah.
And so that explains why.
Yeah, this dropped normally this would have dropped on it wouldn't drop until Thursday.
Yep.
Of this week. And it dropped on Saturday because they were like, we got to get it out because we just screened it and everybody's going to talk about it. And not only did they drop it, they dropped the Will Wheaton's Ready Room episode with it. I thought I wouldn't get to see Ready Room until Thursday. And they dropped both at the same time. So I was like, I get to see both. Awesome.
Nice.
Yeah. Anyway, talk about Star Trek.
Anyway, the special episode was so special and wonderful. I'm having a hard time remembering what the episode was before it, other than just an overall feeling of going, fuck, that was a good episode.
So it was, they'd gone into a nebula. I don't remember the name of the nebula, but it's significant in that it was named after Melissa Navia. I think that's her first name. I know Navia is her last name, who plays the helmswoman on the Enterprise.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's her husband's last name, and he had just died from cancer.
Yeah.
While they were filming season two, so not just died, because they filmed season two like last year.
Yep.
But yeah,
so, yeah, it was a good quote first contact.
Yeah.
You know, episode.
There was an echo of a next generation episode, early Next Generation episode, season one or two. Where they'd gone to this planet and there were these people doing some mining and all of a sudden their equipment started attacking them and they come to find out like the dirt was sentient or there were sentient microbes in the dirt.
Yep.
And they used the dirt to communicate. And in this one, it's the nebula. They use the nebula to communicate and it was a weird sound. I had one friend who really was not into that sound at all. I guess it kind of freaked her out. I'm like, well, it's kind of whatever that big long roam thing that some guy invented.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were basically running down the length of an air conditioning shaft with a drum or something. It was wham. And there was that sound. And I was like, I've heard that sound my whole life, in movies and TV shows. So, doesn't bother me, but I don't know why she was bothered by it. But yeah, it was
a big sci-fi sound.
Yeah, it is. And there's actually an instrument this guy created. He's famous for it, for creating this one instrument for this special effects sound. And it was used in Star Trek, the motion picture. It was V'ger's sound. He invented it for Star Trek, the motion picture.
Oh, and it's nice. Been used, I didn't know that.
And it's been used ever since. Like Michael Bay used it in over and over and over again in all the Transformer movies and his Battleship movie and everything and all that. So yeah. Yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, so it's just this big long. It looks like an air conditioning shaft, and you kind of run this thing down it, and it just makes this wham sound. It's really kind of cool. Yeah, that was a really good episode with Uhura. It was kind of Uhura focused, and I liked it.
Yep, I did too.
But not nearly as much as the Strange New Worlds crossover with my favorite Star Trek series right now, Lower Decks.
Yep.
Oh, my God. That was so fucking hilarious.
And not to spoil the news we'll talk about later, but this one, I believe, will pale in comparison to the next one.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute.
And they're just going all out this season. It's like, let's just do whatever we can because we don't know how many of these we're going to get. And since they're allowing to be episodic, which is so weird to say they're allowed to be episodic. But, because back in the day, it was like DS9 had to really, really work to get more than a two-parter. ever put into a series. And by the time you get to the sixth and seventh season, everything is so interrelated to each other that it feels like one long episode, even though they said, no, it was just a five-parter. It was just a four-parter. I'm like, out of your 23 episodes that season, there were 20 that were interconnected. And it was incredible to watch those back then when they weren't allowed to do that. They wanted to keep it episodic like Next Gen did. And then Voyager wound up doing with this, because they are truly episodic. It's been amazing to watch these things happen. The other thing about the good thing about the Uhura episode was we got to have a good goodbye for Hemler. Finally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sort of yep. The elevator, the turboshaft. not the kindest. See you later.
Yeah, not the kindest. Yeah. No. Yeah, it was pretty cool though. Good episode.
But you know, I thought, man, I'm blanking on names today. That new engineer.
Oh, Pelia?
Yeah, Mrs. Humperdinck.
Yes.
Carol Kane. I really thought she was going to bug the shit out of me, and I find her fucking delightful.
She has entertained me since her first appearance, and at first I thought, I was with you. I was like, uh-oh, she might be bugging. She might be a little bit of a pain in the ass. But as it kept going, I've been like, nope, she's delightful.
Yeah, because I don't know why, but my brain defaults to Mrs. Miracle Max.
Yeah.
You know, every time I think about her, because it was, you know, such an iconic role for her, and so that was my expectation, and instead she's just being fucking great, especially in the time travel episode, which was fucking wonderful, because, of course, there could be a time in the life of an immortal where they don't know how to do shit, you know, 300 years from now, because they haven't learned it yet. I mean, just like that. So,
the best payoff for me will be if they ever mention the 20th century, and she says, I was married to a taxi cab mechanic in the 20th century.
Yes.
That would be a huge payoff for me all around.
Yeah, because that's the other thing I think of when I think of her.
Yep.
Simca. Yep.
Yeah. God, you think of Carol Kane, and it's like she had her role. No role is not iconic at some point for her.
Exactly.
The Lower Decks episode where, you know, they have to pull up a panel in the floor in the engineering. She goes, be careful with my floor. I walk there. And Spock's like, it would be illogical to suggest that you only walk here, because it's like one panel they lifted off. Oh my God, she's hilarious.
That's it. That's all I watched this week. It was a shitload of soccer, you know, and cowboy, cop, and the Star Trek. What about you?
The Full Monty series. So this is an eight episode series that they must have done in Britain first. But it was put on FX, and it's the Full Monty. It's the original cast, pretty much all of them, coming back to do, you know, 25 years later in Sheffield, basically, is kind of the whole point of it. Nobody's stripping. Nobody's giving us the Full Monty, as it were. But it's basically their lives, because the movie, it's hard to remember, but the Full Monty wasn't about a bunch of strippers. It was about a bunch of guys who were finding themselves, you know, suddenly laid off from a job and a promise that they'd always had, that they would have this kind of work in the steel mill. And they decided to do something outrageous to make some money, and then followed it through. But, this one, I mean, everybody's back. Gaz is still Gaz, doing all of his crazy stuff. And Dave is constantly, you know, chastising him for it. The rest of the gang are there. They focused on four of the main characters. Gaz has a new daughter who's now a high school student. His son has grown up to be a police officer, which he is very upset about. And, you know, because it's not like he gets a get out of jail free card with his son. And then meanwhile, Dave is working as a custodian or whatever they call them in Britain at a new school that is mostly for the poor kids in Sheffield. And it is just, it's incredible. It was such a great series. The first episode, I was like, I don't know. And by the time we got into it, because we watched the first episode and then it took us a few days to get back to it. We started watching episodes 2 and 3 and we're like, oh, fuck yeah, this is such a great show. We really got into it.
Nice.
It's brilliant by the end. It's absolutely brilliant. If you liked the Full Monty movie, it's on Hulu. It's worth checking out. I watched Superpowered, the DC story.
Oh, fuck, yeah. I forgot. I did. I watched the first episode of that.
Yeah, I've watched all three. I would say I loved it, and there were things missing that I was like, well, I understand you might have cut them for time, but there were elements that I was like, I wish you would have covered those as well. Little funny little things like how they created Elongated Man because Julie Schwartz wanted a character like Plastic Man, but he didn't realize he'd just bought the rights to Plastic Man and could have used it. He didn't realize he'd bought out this old comic book publisher that had gone out of, you know, run out of business and bought all their properties. And they just bought them. And he didn't even look at what the properties were. And one of them was Plastic Man. So he was like, oh, shit, I could have had Plastic Man. And that was, they didn't cut that in. They didn't talk in episode 2. I wish they'd talked more about Wolfman and Perez doing the new Teen Titans, because that was a game changer in the industry. But they had other game changers they had to talk about, so I understand why they didn't talk about that one. Because they had Dark Knight Returns and Watchmen to talk about, as well as Crisis on Infinite Earths. So, yeah, big one. And then in the third episode, which is the latter half of, you know, coming up until today, they started pulling their punches. You know, they were really critical of themselves for the first two episodes. And then they get up to this one and they're like, and then we created the new 52. And they're like, and I'm like, and you're not going to say it was a dismal failure, are you? No, you are not.
And then we shat ourselves on the drive home. It was great. You should have read Green Arrow. Yay.
Exactly. Red Savage Hawkman, Red the Outside, Red Hood and the Outsiders.
Action
Red
Comics.
Outlaws. Yeah, Action Comics. Oh my god. Yeah. It's impressive though how many creators they have speaking in the episode, you know, talking to us in the episode. You even get some Neil Adams, because they must have filmed him just before he passed away. And it was really cool to see a lot of the old creators, those who are still around, and even some of the current creators like Tom King. Get a talk a little bit. So yeah, it was really cool. Oh, one thing they did miss in the third episode that they should have hit this one. How many of us learned about the Tulsa massacre from the Watchmen series on HBO? I know I did. I think I'd heard about it at one point, but didn't know anything about it. And thought it was like in the 19th century. That's what I thought. And then I watched this episode. I'm like, fuck, this was the 20th century and they pulled this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Tulsa Massacre. So yeah, it was like, this was something that actually kind of, that was something that started the whole, we need more critical race theory taught in schools. Yeah. Which of course, you know, the right is immediately pushing back against because they can't have that. People won't accept slavery again if we have that. And then Secret Invasion. This one actually was really good. I wasn't meh on this one. This one, I really liked this episode of Secret Invasion. So I think they finally hooked me. It took them a while. I think we're almost done with this series and they finally hooked me. So yeah, I'm in on Secret Invasion. Well, let's dive into some TV news.
She-Hulk reportedly on its way back for season 2.
Yay!
Yay!
So
I can't wait to see when the animators aren't overworked, what it's going to look like, you know?
Yeah. Anyway, cool. Next.
There's
nothing to that article. Ms. Marvel will air on ABC for a broadcast television debut because they don't have any writers to make new shit, so they got to put other shit out. I mean, it's really what it comes down to. But I think that's awesome. That's awesome for, what's her name? I quit. I can't remember anything today. I'm sorry. The young lady who plays Ms. Marvel.
Yes.
Yeah. This is
Iman Vellani.
Yeah, this is access to a much larger audience for her that she so richly deserves for. Mm-hmm. Did you guys see the trailer for the for the Marvels, the new trailer?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am so in love with this kid. I love the kid that plays Ms. Marvel. Iman Vellani?
Vellani. Yeah.
Yeah, so there's nothing much to that either. So
hopefully the airing will begin before they release the movie. I think it might be intentional to get this on the air before they release the Marvels movie so that people will know, you know, who didn't. Because it's like everybody saw these things, but they don't know. And I'm like, well, you're missing out on WandaVision then, because that's where we learn about Photon. So Monica Rambeau getting her powers.
Yep.
But,
yeah. But Ms. Marvel's a good one to launch with, I think.
Well, and it's a lot more accessible than WandaVision.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So down there at the San Diego Comic-Con, the Star Trek universe unveiled several first looks of its Paramount TV series.
Oh,
We got an extended clip, which I don't have. For the fifth and final season of Star Trek Discovery. A trailer and a premiere date set for the fourth season of Star Trek Lower Decks. And
which they ran just before the episode. If you watch it on Paramount Plus, that they run that trailer just before the crossover episode.
It's a really good, it was helpful.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, that was really smart. That was a good place to put that commercial.
It's like that they did the commercial, the end of the thing is like the end of the trailer is the two of them is Mariner saying to Boimler, oh, come on, this is way worse than that Pike thing that we're not allowed to talk about.
Nice.
And then it ends with my favorite bit, which is Rutherford saying, oh, crap, am I in the game? And then a door opens, a little girl says, Follow me home, Alan Moraine. What, count to four, Alan Moraine. He's like, God damn it!
Oh no! Oh, that's stuck in my head.
Yeah. There is nothing better than that episode to just watch Avery Brooks and Nana Visitor having to do that in character.
That's such a bad fucking episode.
It is so terrible. But that one little moment where they've got to go do the little hopscotch thing, singing Alan Moraine, I was like, this. That just made the whole episode for me, is watching those two, Avery Brooks, Hawk, doing that, and then Nana Visitor in her character of Kira Nerys, who gives no shit, who takes no shit, having to do that. It was like, oh my God, this is so delightful to watch. And then the rest of the episode's garbage.
Yeah, it was like they looked back at that Next Generation one with the clowns.
Yeah.
You know, where the whole ship was in the alternate reality or the virtual reality, and they didn't want to come out. Yeah, it's like they looked at that and went, hey, that's a shitty episode. Hold my beer.
That's Voyager, right?
Yeah, Voyager. Yeah, the clown
was Voyager.
Yeah.
The doctor had to go in and save everybody. God, those, I struggle with those episodes because, like, they seem so real to me, and I'm like, I don't want to get caught in the chaos.
Anyway,
and then they played the trailer for the upcoming, I believe, first of its kind. It doesn't count when they're doing it on the holodeck. Musical episode of Star Trek: Strange New Worlds. Was Subspace Rhapsody?
Yeah, Subspace Rhapsody.
I watched the trailer about 2 hours ago. It looks fucking great. Mm-hmm. It looks great.
Oh my God. And the fact that you've got Celia Rose Gooding, you've got all the, and so many of these other people have, I know Celia Rose Gooding has a great voice because she's been working on Broadway for a long time before she got the role of Uhura. But you've got all these other people who are also accomplished singers who are going to be doing numbers.
If Anson Mount can sing, he's going to be my enemy. Because that is too much. He is too pretty. He's too talented. And if the fucker can sing and dance, I'm done. I'm done with him.
I've watched him play guitar on his Instagram feed.
Yep, so have I. So have I. But yeah. Any fat chump can play guitar, I tell you what. Just saying, that's not all that special. Yeah, if I can do it, anybody can.
To you, but the sing part, okay.
You just throw some strings at a stack of monkeys, and you know, the next thing you know, it's Stairway to Heaven. Anyway, in this article that you can access quite easily at thecomicbookpodcast.com, they have the trailers and clips and everything else that we mentioned earlier. And then a bunch of words that are boring to read, so I'm not going to do it. But Star Trek has, yes, the Strange New Worlds a musical episode has been announced. And that trailer has been released. And I don't know why. This is the silliest season of nearly any Star Trek show, not including Lower Decks. Mm-hmm. And I am fucking here for it. I'm absolutely here for it.
This it's not even, you know, like Star Trek, the original series season two, where you had heavy episode, funny episode, heavy episode, funny episode. And it's like, that was the pattern all the way through the season, right? Of season two of the original series. This one has been like heavy episode, sort of light episode, heavy episode. Now we've had just, we had a comedy episode, then we had the heavy episode with Uhura. And now it's just like, we're just ending on a bang. You know, Lower Decks, now a musical episode, and then you get the finale, I guess, would be where we're at, or close to the finale at that point.
Getting there, getting uncomfortably there.
Yep.
Have they already shot season three?
I don't know that they've shot season three.
Yee.
The fact that they have shot season five, the final season of Discovery, and we got to see that first look, which, oh my God, that whole opening sequence was awesome. And the fact that they are using their this 30th century technology so well that they have to, that they've gotten now. And it was just like, oh my God, just the whole sequence was amazing. But yeah, they'd already shot that one. So that one's available. And then of course, Lower Decks was finished, which is good because, you know, we're not going to have anything for a while coming up. If it ain't shot, we ain't going to see it. That's it.
Unless it's A24, who has agreed to every stipulation that SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild have asked for. A24.
Nice. So welcome to independent stuff taking over. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. More news. I just want to see that episode. Now, do I get it on Thursday or do I have to wait another week?
August 3rd. You got to wait a week.
God damn it.
Mm-hmm. I got really upset when they did that with The Last of Us. I was just like, I don't want an early episode if I don't get it at the same time each week.
I know.
Yeah, it does. It makes the wait gap too long.
In the same amount of time, please.
Yeah. It's like when you feed the dog late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
You know, they get a little bent. Comic-Con 2023 news. We got news here. We got some over in comics as well. But DC has announced two movies they're going to make. Okay. Let out the breath. It's DC animated.
Okay.
Justice
League. I'm in on this one.
Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earths will be the first of the two movies. I'm looking forward to it. I liked it. And the other one, hold your breath again, The Watchmen. They're going to do an animated Watchmen. And I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that, and I'm going to watch it. Mm-hmm. You bet your ass.
Yeah.
Team Blue Penis. But, you know, I give what's his name, Snyder, a lot of shit for some pretty terrible fucking movies. But I will say, and I will stand upon and defend this hill, you know, until it's annoying or I get hot. Not to the death. I don't care that much, but you know what I mean. If I have a parasol, I'll last a little longer. But Watchmen is his best film. And is probably the best movie that DC has put out. Is Watchmen.
I would agree with that.
It's every time I watch it, I'm just like, fuck, this is a good fucking movie. You know? So anyway. That's it for the news.
it was actually the movie that best fit his worldview.
Oh yeah.
And not Justice League, because his worldview does not coincide with Justice League, in my opinion. So, yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Anyway, that's it for the news.
Okay, we're going to take another break. And when we come back, we're talking comics.
My name is Peter Davison. I played the Fifth Doctor. And you're listening to the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Neil Armstrong waited 6 hours and 39 minutes to step onto the surface of the moon. Jackie Robinson waited 20 months to play his first game with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And even DiCaprio had to wait 22 years to win an Oscar. You can wait until your destination. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kevin Eastman, co-creator of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and you're listening to me on the world's greatest comic book podcast.
Wah, wah, wah!
Let's do some comic book news.
Comic book news? Who wants comic book news?
Me, I do.
All right. DC Comics has tripled its sales. Since James Gunn and what's his name, Safran, Peter Safran, have taken over. I think this is anecdotal.
Because we've rarely seen we've rarely seen that anything happening in the movie industry has increased comic book sales for anyone else. So.
Yeah, not very often.
Yeah, I think it has more to do with Dawn of DC having really good titles. Now,
oh yeah,
has tripled their sales. Plus, the diversity that they're encouraging now in their stories, from John Kent Superman, and what they're doing with Tim Drake Robin and all that stuff. Plus, having more Black characters, more characters of color in general. And art writers and female writers and people of color writers and artists who are doing all this work. So yeah, I think that's helping a lot more than, I guess, James Gunn. We'll let him have it.
But you know what? I got to be honest. People talk about it.
Yeah.
And if they're talking about it and they're talking about it with a smile on their face, they're more likely to buy the comic book. You know, than they were when it was just like, what the fuck was Batman v Superman? What the fuck? You know, fuck DC. True. So it does help the mindset a little bit. I mean, and again, it's anecdotal. This is just what I notice in my shop. And according to what sells and what doesn't, my shop is off the beaten track. My guys, they buy different. I'm just saying, you know, like, could you take the Venom, please? not a lot of symbiote heads at my place.
Good. There shouldn't be that many.
Yeah. The real deal. Young United Kingdom graphic artist was nominated for 5 comic book, quote, Oscars. Zoe Thorogood from Bradford. Nominated for 5 Eisner Awards. please unlock the thing, please. Oh, I unlocked it. All right, great. Yeah, 24-year-old Zoe Thorogood from Bradford heads to San Diego, or went to San Diego. This is from early in the week.
That's Bradford in the UK, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's from The Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But yeah, she very talented. 5 nominations, and she won one of them.
Yep.
You were telling me. I can't find that.
The Russ Manning Promising Newcomer Award.
Yeah.
Is what she won.
Awesome.
So there's a wee photo of it.
That's cool.
On her Instagram.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
There she is.
She's what, 24?
Oh,
she's
nice.
24. Yep.
Yep. And
I was looking at, I like her stuff.
It looks amazing. I need to read these two graphic novels of hers. Yeah. She had a thing where she was like, I'm finally getting to do this thing, and, you know, I'm this at this point in my career, and I'm like, shut up, you're 24. This point in your career.
Damn child prodigies.
Yes. At this point in my career, I'm struggling to get any publisher to even take notice of me. Yeah.
Okay. Just sending a message to order her stuff again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where do we get to? Da 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 da. San Diego Comic Con. Marvel has revealed a brand new Punisher.
Yeah.
Yep. Is that really going to work if his pouches get dirty? And why does he have 3 white pouches pointing towards his junk? I'm just saying, I'm not a big fan of what they're doing to his chest piece.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just throw that out there? It looks, yep. It's fucking ridiculous. It's worse than the weird rabbit with the ram horns that Frank's wearing now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, Frank was wearing, I guess his series ended with him dying. But in reality, he wound up in another dimension, and he's basically taking care of some kids.
Good for him.
So he could come back at any point, obviously, if this doesn't work. That's the best part. If this doesn't work, we can bring back Frank.
Yep.
Weird world.
He's in Weird World.
Weird World, yeah. So the hope is that Frank will... The hope is that this will be the Danny Ketch to Ghost Rider in the way that, you know, the way that... Danny Ketch took over Ghost Rider for Johnny Blaze after that kind of, you know.
Well, not to futz your metaphor, but
yeah,
I certainly hope it sells better than a Danny Ketch title.
That's what I'm hoping too, yeah. and that was why they brought. I was explaining this to Angus yesterday. I said, well, the reason why Danny Ketch, it was a really great idea and it caught fire for like the first 3 issues, and then nobody cared. After that, but a lot of the powers of the Ghost Rider that we saw in the Nick Cage movie are actually from Danny Ketch, not from what we saw, not from Johnny Blaze's original run.
Yeah.
So it's like there was stuff in there that was smart and worked, but not enough people cared about it, particularly back in the 90s when it was all speculator shit, because that came out during the speculator shit. Mm. So which they do talk about in that DC documentary. You know, how the speculators just about destroyed the market. But anyway, the idea of this is that he could be... I'm hoping he'll be good. That's what I'm hoping for. Because, you know, Frank Castle's been the Punisher for 50 years. Vietnam War veteran Frank Castle has been the Punisher for 50 years. I'd like to see, you know, this guy... I'd like to see if this works. If it doesn't, we can bring back Frank. It's no big deal. As Stan Lee always said, wait a couple of months, it'll all be back to normal.
Yeah. Babylon 5 creator J. Michael Straczynski has inked a deal with Dark Horse Comics. J. Michael Straczynski, whose headshot makes him look like a fellow who produces female-friendly porn in the 70s. I make it for the chicks, he says. Look at that headshot and tell me I'm wrong.
You're not wrong.
Okay. Anyways, going into business with Dark Horse Comics is going to launch various creator-owned work with the publisher that'll span graphic novels, miniseries, and ongoing. He's a veteran of the genre space. Babylon 5 creator, co-created Netflix's Sense8. If you haven't seen that, holy shit. Take the time. It's intense. He's done runs on The Amazing Spider-Man, Superman, Captain America. And
that's about to drop is his Captain America run.
Yep.
So, yeah, hasn't even dropped yet.
And he helped on World War Z, Thor, and Changeling. So, according to Straczynski, Dark Horse comics boss Mike Richardson just gave him the mandate to write whatever the fuck he wants.
I mean, fair.
That's when you know that your sensitive 70s lesbian porn has hit all the right marks. When Dark Horse is like, write whatever you want. I do it for the ladies. We got some solicitations coming up. This is a bit of a segment and we're going to try and iron out over the next few weeks, but I don't see these very often. But the first one coming from Marvel, this will be out in October. So sometime next week, go ahead and call your local comic book shop and tell them to put it in the hold if it sounds interesting. This one is Gods number 1. Which I'm guessing is a prose novel, since I see novelist and chartographic fetishist Jonathan Hickman at the helm.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of prose will be inserted in there. Yep. Yes.
Yep. Captain Marvel, number 1. Okie dokie.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to be a retailer for a minute and say, if we're continuing Captain Marvel in an ongoing series, just because you change writers, that doesn't mean you have to start new numbering.
Oh, we're about to get to a worse one coming down here in a minute. Yeah. But yeah. But this this Alyssa Wong one and Jim Bartel's new costume looks really cool. I like the jacket.
Yeah.
I dig the jacket. I don't know how long it'll last, but I dig the jacket.
Yep. Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Captain Marvel : Assault on Eden, number 1. I believe this is a miniseries. No, it's a one-shot. This one's a one-shot. But Captain Marvel has to save the Kree homeworld. Ultimate Universe, number 1. Again, a prose novel. They gave it to Hickman.
One-shot prose novel.
Yep. They gave it to Hickman. So we'll see what that's all about. But yeah, it's apparently something to do with wrapping up or whatever for Ultimate Invasion, which is going on now. We got Spider-Boy number 1 coming out in October. Spider-Boy, they just did with him here, 3 or 4 issues ago in Spider-Man. One of the best panels I've seen is Electro yelling at Spider-Man, saying, "Hey, I'm a bad dude, but you're violating child labor laws. I'm not going to beat up a kid. What's the matter with you, Spider-Man?"
I fucking love that.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
I fucking love that.
Sensational She-Hulk. You ready for this? Rainbow Rowell and Jessica Gao. Are you kidding me? Woo-hoo. Kick ass.
So this is the thing. Rainbow Rowell's been writing She-Hulk.
Yep.
And they stop at issue 15, and then they give us a couple months break, and then Sensational She-Hulk, number 1. So they're starting over to number 1 without changing writers this time. I guess Jessica Gao will probably wind up taking over as writer.
But they changed the title a little bit, too.
All they did was change it to the Sensational She-Hulk instead of She-Hulk, yes.
It's still different.
Yeah, it's different enough to start again at number 1. Yeah.
I don't mind it, because then I'm telling you, it will bring in more readers eventually.
And that's the problem, is it's proven to bring in more readers.
Right, because when you, even now, today, to this day, when I walk into a comic book shop and I pick something up, and it says it's issue 384, I go, that's a lot of history that I don't know, and I put it back.
Mine is the Marvel's point one system. was fucking brilliant, and I don't know why they retired it.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's inferior. It worked. It was perfect.
Yeah. Instead, they'll do legacy numbering somewhere on here. They'll have legacy numbering at some point on a cover. They don't do that. They don't do it often enough. But I mean, I always say, you know me, Joss. So if you see something that's issue 394, and you're like, that's a lot of history.
Give him a call.
Come talk to me. Give me a call. You know?
Well, I know, but when I'm just browsing and perusing for something.
Just keep in mind, he's radioactive.
Yep. It's true. It's true.
So sensational.
That's how I get my power.
Sensational. Let's see. White Widow.
Mm-hmm.
White Widow.
Yeah, that one looked good, too.
This one's by Sarah Gailey. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yelena Belova. She likes the hot sauce.
It's true, she does.
Yep. Carnage number one. I don't care. Symbiotes. Predator versus Wolverine number two. What's that you say? Yes. Yes. In September, you were supposed to buy Predator versus Wolverine number one. Mm-hmm. So get on the horn to your local comic book shop and get that one in your hold now, because I bet it's going to be awesome. What else we got? Captain America number two means that new Captain America with no subtitle kicks off in September also.
Yep, this is J. Michael Straczynski's run. So he inked his deal at Dark Horse, and they're like, and his run on Captain America, I'm like, the one that we haven't read yet? Okay.
I do it because I respect the ladies.
That's right.
Daredevil number two.
Woo-woo.
Yep, same thing, guys. September, like I said, new info.
Yep, in September, you got Predator versus Wolverine, Captain America, and Daredevil number one all coming out. You need to get those in your hold if you want them.
Okay, now, pay attention to this.
Mm-hmm.
If you want... what the fuck is it? It's classified number three. But it's,
yeah, if you want
not...
the Ms. Marvel, yeah. The new Ms. Marvel, the New Mutant, written by Iman Vellani, this is when it is coming out.
But when
this
you
is number three,
when you go to talk to your local comic book shop, because look, there's a lot of info we have to retain, and you want the Ms. Marvel, remind to tell them when they start freaking out, typing in the computer to do the order. Tell them it's called classified, because we'll forget.
I went on Comic Hub to make sure I was getting it. And, it's still listed as classified on a Comic Hub, but all the covers are Ms. Marvel. Yeah, they have all the alternate covers. It's really funny. So
that is funny.
Yeah, they can't keep it a secret anymore.
Let's see. What else have we got? I'm troubleshooting on the fly. Here it is. Mm-hmm. Most important or second most important title of the year, 2023. Mm-hmm. It's Jeff. The Jeffverse number one. Just when we thought Kelly Thompson had been completely devoured by the DC universe. A desperate cry for help? No. A farewell gift. Whatever. It's fucking Jeff the Land Shark. Buying this one. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
I think we've learned our lesson from the last time and order heavy on that one. Mm-hmm.
It's so adorable. You can't not want to, people are going to want to get it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. Let me do something. Hey, Pat, say hello. Nope, can't hear you. Do you want to reboot?
You're muted.
Yep. You go ahead and reboot.
Oh,
we can see you. You look great, by the way. You're fantastic, but I can't hear anything. And now we're going to do a magic pause while she reboots. Like magic. Yes. Marvel Zombies, Black, White, and I Don't Give a Shit. Look, they did Marvel Zombies, and it was fucking Eastman,
yeah.
Right? and it was garbage. It's just one of those things. I hope that every time he wakes up in the middle of the night, short of breath and sweaty of brow, that he knows it's because he wrote Marvel Zombies. but yeah, it's not bad. But then they did that one a couple of years back here, where it was sort of a zombie thing going on, and the zombies didn't talk to one another, and it was pretty good. You know, I'm not that big a zombies guy. I've read all of Walking Dead, and I feel like I'm pretty caught up.
Yeah, I think you're settled in what your zombie world at that point.
I don't need Zombie Hulk. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need it unless it looks like the What If cartoon. And that's what the last Marvel Zombies looks like. So this could be fine, especially when you see that fucking Garth Ennis, Alex Segura.
First name I see is Garth Ennis.
Oh yeah, that's what I saw. I was kind of excited because of Garth Ennis.
Yeah, and Ashley Allen are on it.
Yeah.
What the fuck, man?
Rachel Stott. Yeah. Javi Fernandez. These are good. These are good creators. And I'm like, ugh.
So yeah, we'll see. I'll probably flip through it. What else we got? Crypt of Shadows. Number one looks like, All Hallows Eve.
Getting ready for Halloween here.
Okie dokie. What else we got?
This one's great.
Cap Wolf and the Howling Commandos. Ow! If there is not a Chinese menu in his hand in one of these variant covers, I will burn this place to the ground.
Yep.
Let's see. What else we got? Hallows Eve, The Big Night. That's a spinoff for Hallows Eve. You know, the new bad dude. And then Spine Tingling Spider-Man.
Yep.
Josh,
that's like three, four, five, ten. How many Spider-Man titles are there?
I believe that's 10.
How many titles are there?
16.
See, Batman always wins.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, Spine Tingling Spider-Man is a 4-issue mini. Cap Wolf is a 4-issue mini. And Crypt of Shadows is a one shot. So yeah, and Marvel Zombies is a 4-issue mini. So this is all Halloween stuff that they decided to all drop in October, just so you could have it. All Hallows Eve is a one shot. The Big Night. Of all of these, I might read All Hallows Eve, The Big Night.
I don't know. I'm taking a long look at these covers, and I think Cap Wolf may just end up going full series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
It's got ongoing written all over it. In crayon. That's it for the news, gang.
So after that, after those issue ones, everything else is all, the regular series. But one of the things they've done this for the October solicitations is they've decided to do champions covers for all of the different, for all our main series, where basically creating kid sidekicks for the main heroes. They don't all work. For example, for Avengers, their kid sidekick is this little junior Vision. And I'm like, they already have a Vision child as one of the champions. That's Viv Vision.
Yeah.
They have a parent's junior sidekick for Miles Morales. I'm like, he is a fucking champion. It just didn't make any sense.
And a minor.
What's that?
And a minor.
And a minor. And a minor.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got to get him a junior sidekick, what's he got? A 9-year-old? What the fuck, Marvel?
I want to know. And they keep throwing these up, and I'm like, please don't make this like the Stargirl and the kid sidekicks series they did, where all the kid sidekicks were, they had all these kid sidekicks for every golden age hero. At least that was kind of made sense, because the golden ages when kid sidekicks were introduced, but oh my God. Yeah, this looks terrible. So please don't bring any of these into reality unless you're going to kill them off. Oh, and Wolverine's, it looks like Laura with Wolverine's haircut. That's really all it is. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, to continue. Let's talk about what we've read this week. Let's start out with Pat, because you read a lot.
I did. I have a whole lot. Okay, so I sent it in the email.
Yes. But you have you have to do the reviews.
Gotta
pull up the
can't
email.
Remember them?
Well, yeah. Well,
I can't open up on my computer because I think the reason why I'm having problems is because my network's so slow. So I gotta open it up on my phone.
Oh, fair enough.
So Demon Wars number one. I'm not totally positive when it came out, but it's Marvel, and it is like a anime or manga version.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Version of Marvel. It's the second volume, I'm thinking, because there's a lot going on. I didn't read the trade paper I also picked up first, and I have no idea what's going on, but it's fucking gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Peach I'm excited Momoko, to figure super it out, talented.
So I do need to read the trade. I picked up the Masumi Spotlight issue from Zenoscope. I really, really liked Zenoscope probably like 15 years ago when they were doing like early on, and it was like one shot issues of old fairy tale stories, and they were turned into this grim version of it, and with lots of TNA. And I absolutely loved the Alice in Wonderland stuff. That was probably the stuff that grabbed me the most. Every time I try to pick up one of these, although it's good, it's a very good story, I once again have no idea what's going on because this series has been going on for a very long time and I haven't kept up. And so it's kind of hard to keep up. This one's really cool because so she is fighting a demon who is her cousin. Some gorgeous artwork, but she has like Melina from Mortal Kombat teeth. So I was mostly just oogling at the pictures because I thought it looked pretty badass. There was one point in time when I was like, yep, that definitely defies gravity. For her chest. But that's to be expected from Zenoscope. I read Darth Vader number 33, which is also a random issue that I haven't kept up on. I picked it up because I really like anything that has Padme on it. Honestly, I got it for the cover, but I did read it. And there is this, I don't know what her job is, but she works with Darth Vader and she looks like Padme. So she has this like kind of weird relationship with Vader, and he sees Padme in her, and she like tries to save him, and it's this whole thing. And then come to find out, she's like, they both end up on this planet, and she is all of a sudden in her own dark force trial type of thing. And it's very, it's the beginning, I think it's the beginning of an arc that really bases around how similar she is to Padme and how her journey aligns with Vader's. And I don't know, it looks really cool. Considering Padme is dead, this is how they bring her into the story and cause problems for Vader.
It's a maudlin twist, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I picked up one of the free Comic Book Day books. It's the anime manga one called Shaman King Flower and Welcome to Demon School. They're very manga. They're very cute. One of them shonen. I think the other one's probably going to be something more like a harem style where there's a bunch of, girls and one main character. That was also fun. It totally got me in the mood for watching anime, so I watched Sailor Moon the rest of the night after reading that. I think I liked both of them, but I just want to read manga now. And then the last one that I was very excited was the one shot for Impact Winter. This is a storyline that follows Rook, who is the creator of the main character who's now a vampire. It takes place, it seems like probably right after the first series. And it basically brings you all the way back in the past to when Rook was created, and his relationship with his creator, which is kind of totally sweet. And also kind of weird because they explain in the series that you don't normally have a physical relationship with the ones that create you. You're more seen as their children and less as like a lover, which this totally defies that. And the others, the story of the main person also kind of defies that, in both her relationship with her creator and the relationship she has with who she created. So it expands on that lore, and I'm super excited for more.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I did the thing.
Okay. How about you, Jess?
I finally sat down and finished reading that trade paperback of Damage Control. I started reading, like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something stupid. And it was just charming and delightful. And I didn't really expect the cute twist at the end. And I know it's been out, but I don't like to spoil little surprises like that for people. So if you find it in trade paperback, it was worth it. It was fun. So, cool. Yeah. How about you, Jeff?
Let's see. Big Game by Mark Millar. I don't quite know what's going on because I'm reading more now than I was then because I'm making the time, which I should have been doing then.
Yes.
But so there's a lot of new Mark Millar stuff out right now that I have not been reading. But this is basically like Millar World's fucking Avengers or some shit. I mean, it's like Kick-Ass, Kingsman, Nemesis, Magic Order. All the Miller World franchises are in the event. You know? And so this one came out, and I'm like, okay. All right, I'm going to take a look. And it was good. And I'm really interested in figuring it out. Hawk Girl, number one, from DC Comics. I was explaining this to a couple of customers yesterday. I'm a big fan of the Hawk, mythos.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
It all started, you two can check out now. JC, you'll know what I'm talking about. On a magical evening on, I believe it was ABC, the superhero power hour.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And every costume on there, which I believe was all DC guys, and Spider-Man showed up at one point, as I recall.
Yeah, it was weird.
We don't know why. And anyway, so everybody's costume was fucking awful. Just awful. Except, of course, for Burt Ward. And who came back to do it, which was weird. Except for Hawkman.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hawkman costume to young me was like, fuck yeah, that's my guy. That's badass. That's why with this stupid fucking Black Adam movie that I did not much care for, the further away from it I get, the less I like it. It was cool to see Hawkman again and to be done and rendered out so well that I really, really enjoyed it. So, Hawk Girl, pretty good start. You know, it's I don't know Jadzia Axelrod at all. So I'm not sure what she's been writing, but, solid entry. I'm going to keep reading it. It'll now be one of the books I have in my hold. So we'll give that a shot. And then continuing the story from Image Comics, Dead Romans number 5. Look, I don't give a shit about this story. I don't care that much about anybody that's in it. It's all antagonists, basically. You know, I don't have a connection. There's not anybody in particular. I'm like, this is my guy, you know. But the art is so magnificent. So just beautiful that I'm kind of bummed out that this isn't an ongoing series. This is a mini.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good. It's just so. You remember the Batwoman books back at the New 52? I can't remember the artist off the top of my head, but you know the story was okay, but the art was so fucking good, And
in fact, the art was so trippy, it was sometimes hard to follow the dialogue and to follow the story. But
yeah.
Goddamn, you could just stare at a page for hours. Yeah.
Yep. Made me wish I was in my 20s again.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you read, buddy?
Just a couple left over from last week's stack. We got Miles Morales, Spider-Man number eight. This is a jumping on point, new story arc starting where he's going to take on the Hobgoblin. But what was interesting about this one was right at the beginning, he's talking to his girlfriend about how his spider sense is getting a little out of hand. It's going off when there's no danger around, and then it's not really activating when he's actually in danger. And she suggests something that never would have been suggested to Peter Parker. Have you thought about talking to someone about this?
Oh, I love it. Spider-Man gets some therapy?
Gets some therapy. And he was like, yes. Well, I never even considered it because of the whole, secret identity superhero thing. But it's like, she's like, well, I have someone I talk to and it really has helped me. And he's like, what? Yeah.
When my Peter Tingle gets weird, I too seek medical help.
Yes. One should seek medical help.
When your Peter Tingle goes all awry.
When it goes wacky. But yeah, it was such an interesting moment. I thought I gotta mention that one. Aside from that, he's taking on the Hobgoblin, who it seems to be even more scary than he ever was when he fought Peter Parker. So yeah, this should be a good little run with Hobgoblin. And then Doctor Strange number five, your mother-in-law is getting married and you got to go to the wedding, even though she was one of the people who killed you. Yeah. Because there was a conspiracy of these ancient warlords and stuff. All of Strange's enemies actually conspired to kill him. And that was the death of Doctor Strange. And we find out who the villain is in this whole thing. And it's going to be a trip. I can't wait to read the next issue because it'll explain where this General Strange has come from.
Ooh.
So we've got a General Strange who is definitely a haggard looking version of Stephen Strange. And it's like, who's this guy? So, yeah, I'm really digging Jed McKay's take on Doctor Strange.
I believe we'll find out that the secret identity is the Condiment King.
There it is. There it is.
We finally get the crossover everybody's never wanted.
We've wanted that for a long time. But that's it. So today is Tuesday. That means tomorrow's Wednesday. And we're going to give our regular picks of the week.
You only say hello so you can say goodbye. These two words must make your life complete. You pick out the hearts that break to make your ego high. And I was just your pick of the week.
All right, this is our last time doing the Wednesday or the Wednesday drops, which are coming out this Wednesday, starting next week. It looks like we'll be able to start talking about stuff coming in September. So let us know if that's not going to work for you, if you'd rather have us do what we're doing today, or if you'd rather hear what's coming out in September so you have time to order it.
Or both.
Let us know. You got to tell us if you like it or not. Otherwise, we'll go on with this new bent to see if we like it. In the end, we're really only entertaining ourselves, right?
That's true.
So, Pat, what are you looking forward to coming out on Wednesday?
So, my first pick is an indie pick.
Yay.
Talon, Seed of Darkness, number one. Nonstop rulers Vlad, Vorden, and Amelia are bent on exterminating the witches whom they blame for spreading the bubonic plague known as the Black Death. They pursue the witch queen Aridia, the last survivor. While seeking refuge, Aridia buries a bloody seed of darkness, a seed harnessing the power of the first true magic, the Ars Magica. Meanwhile, Talon mourns the mysterious abduction of her sister at the hands of an unknown ghostly dark entity. Fucking gorgeous cover.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I have for indie.
Okay. What's your indie picks, Joss?
So I grabbed from AWA, coming out from writer Garth Ennis, The Ribbon Queen, number one. This is a one of eight, so depending on how you qualify it as a short series. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty serious run. Initially started reading it and I was like, eh. And then I hit a line and I went, I'm in. So New York Police Department Detective Amy Sun has a problem. 3 years ago, a young woman was rescued by a serial killer by a police tactical unit. Now she's dead. And Amy thinks the SWAT team leader is responsible. Blah, blah, blah. Detective Sun soon discovers that there is something else on their trail. A force of vengeance older than the human race itself has awoken, invoked by the tormented murder victim in the weeks before she died. And is out for the blood of the guilty, who find themselves suffering a fate more gruesome than anything they could have dreamed of. The Ribbon Queen has come to New York City. And when she learns the truth, Amy is not at all certain that it should be stopped. I like a good vengeance story, man. Mm-hmm. And a vengeance story with an ancient vengeance older than the human race? I'm in. How about you, right, Jeff?
I'm going to look at Conan the Barbarian, number one, from Titan Comics, just to see. I'm not familiar with Jim Zub's work, but I want to see how, I mean, the Marvel Conan was pretty good. It was started out with Jerry Duggan, as I recall.
Yep.
And I'd like to see how Titan handles it. Just so this one's more of a curiosity buy than anything else. But Titan makes good books. You know, they got a lot of fun stuff.
Copyright of Conan the Barbarian, apparently.
Yep.
Yeah.
The other one I'm going to try is a book from Keen Spot Publishing called Rebel Girls. GRRRLS. Remember to tell your local comic book shop that, because that's the only way you'll be able to find it, mm-hmm, is by spelling it like that. Right. But yeah, this is from Danny Harrell?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But cursed with the power to resurrect the dead through music, three girls from rural Alabama set out to tour dive bars, basements, and county fairs throughout the South. I'm hooked already. I'm ready to go. I want to see what the fuck this is all about. So... But then it says, if making it as an all-girl punk band wasn't difficult enough, these cursed souls are pursued by a ghoul disguised as a record executive. I'm in. I can't even read anymore. I am all in on this one. Absolutely.
I'll be honest, I didn't even stop and read that one because I get so tired of the riot girl trope in comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But now that sounds really intriguing.
It looks like fun.
It does.
It does. I believe that means it's your turn.
Yep. Well, you reminded me of a moment, you know, trying to explain to a shop guy of a book I wanted. This was back in the early Vertigo days, so back in the 90s when we didn't have the computers or any of this stuff. And I wanted to get this new one-shot from Vertigo called Rogan Gosh, Star of the East. And I said, yeah, I want Rogan Gosh. And he literally wrote down Rogue, as in the X-Man. He wrote down Rogue and Gosh. And I'm like, no, it's one word. Rogan, like Logan, only with an R. Rogan Gosh. He's like, oh, okay. It was such a weird moment. For me this week, my indie picks, Firepower, number 25, will be coming out from Robert Kirkman.
Yep.
Double size, 25th issue, spectacular. This is the return of the whole Firepower stuff. They took a little break here, so... We learned in issue 24 that Waylon killed Owen's parents.
Mm-hmm.
His master killed his parents. I'm like, wow, this is definitely sounding like a kung fu movie now. This is going to be fun. And then also from Image Comics, New Burn number 9, which is the return of Chip Zdarsky's awesome fucking crime noir series with Jacob Phillips. This one just looks like fun. If you don't know about New Burn is he investigates, but he works for mafia families, and the cops have an understanding that he's allowed into crime scenes, and because a lot of times, you know, if a family's sending him in, it's to bust another family. So the cops are like, no, no, Newbert's got passed because he might get us a collar, you know.
True.
It's such a good series. I fucking love it. It was such an original idea from Zdarsky, and this has been a really good series. So Newbert number 9. And then from, as I wait for it to come up, here we go. From Avery Hill Publishing, Macbeth. Adapted by Kay Briggs. This is both, he illustrated it, obviously. The writers are listed as William Shakespeare and Kay Briggs.
You know what? Same with my autobiography.
Rendition. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
A graphic novel rendition of the classic is a new interpretation of the Scottish play, basically. I've seen the images from this, the artwork from it. It looks amazing. And, this guy he says he's a Shakespeare. It says Briggs was a Shakespeare reader and performer from age 12. And they're bringing their lifelong love of the bard to this work. So, yeah, I'm really it looked really good when I saw some advanced images of it. And, yeah, I'm this looks a lot like a really good book. P.S. Fresh Comics. It's not an uppercase B. It's not Clan Macbeth. It's Macbeth was his first name. Sorry. Just to, you know, flex my Scottish muscle there for a minute. Main Street Picks.
Not in public.
You have the image of what's the Scottish muscle, right?
Put your skirt down, sir.
From Marvel Comics. I'm throwing in She-Hulk number 15 because this is the final issue of She-Hulk before it goes back to a number one and becomes Sensational She-Hulk. But Rainbow Rowell, this is sort of the final issue for this one. And then Invisible Iron Man number 8. The Hellfire Club gala has started and Tony is busy fighting his own tech in the form of Sentinels. And he'll get a team up with Emma Frost, who I guess this will lead into their getting engaged. Okay. But this is a lot. Jerry Duggan's doing a really good job on this Iron Man, so I wasn't that thrilled about the crossover with the X-Men because I'm a little X-Men burned out, but yeah, this is working for me with Iron Man. And finally, from DC Comics, Night Terrors, Titans number 1. Because, you know, it's all Night Terrors right now, so I'll read the Titans because I like the Titans. How about you, Jeff? What are your main streamers?
I'm going to go with Night Terrors. Angel Breaker, number 1. I don't know who the fuck Angel Breaker is.
Yeah, and I don't know anything about this character. I'm like, what is this?
And she looks badass.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to take a look at this. Also going to look up Angel Breaker this week. But yeah, so that looks exciting. And I got to tell you, folks, I don't know if I've conveyed this enough. Night Terrors is spring event done right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. It's all good. I got people that can't stand anything other than like Batman, you know, that read Batman Night Terrors, went back, read First Blood and Night Terrors number 1, and now are on the hook for all of them because of the way it is, because All of the side issues don't connect to the main story except peripherally. Mm. You just can read the 4 core issues and be fine. It's not going to jump all over. Everything else is attached to it, just not in that linear A, B, C, D way. You know, they're to the side. So you can read just the ones for characters you like or not. But that's it for that one. And then just for those of you that like the bigger books, Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote a shitload of Captain America, and they've now got it out, coming out in an omnibus this week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the Ta-Nehisi Coates Captain America was some of the best Captain America of the history of Captain America.
Absolutely.
That dude can write.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it for me on mainstream. What about you, Jocelyn?
Nice. From Marvel, I still haven't picked up Daredevil and Echo numbers 1 and 2, but number 3 comes out this week. And so I emailed my friendly neighborhood comic book shop and not my neighborhood really, but I emailed and already have it in my hold to go pick up because I don't know why I hadn't done that yet. But then also, this one is a pick. I will read it as well, but it's actually for my mini-me, and I haven't told them about it. Marvel is doing a reprint of Spider-Man India number 1, but also this week, Spider-Man India number 2 is dropping.
Yep.
Oh, there you go.
Ever since we saw the most recent Spider-Verse movie, I kid you not, Mini-Me is obsessed with Spider-Man India. So I am really excited to see this, and I'm hopefully they'll be excited to read it as well.
Yay.
Yay. How about you, Pat? Mainstream pick?
The only one I have is Poison Ivy Uncovered number 1. I'm not totally positive if it's actually a book or if it's just a bunch of variant covers of Poison Ivy. Because the solicitation says it's variant covers of Poison Ivy, but it says it's an ongoing series.
It's too bad it isn't drawn by Zenoscope.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
Because if I would like my Poison Ivy uncovered.
It's really good. It's better than, sure. than some of it. Because Zenoscope, in comparison to this, is very toony.
True.
You know, very like Play-Doh people. And this one, like, you can see the outline of the entire curve of her breast. And it's amazing. So, that's not weird.
It sounds beautiful.
It is.
Little Gilla March there. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have it. That's all I got.
Nice. It's
freaking pretty.
All right. Well, I guess that's it for us this week. Anything else, kids?
Nothing.
Nothing? All right. Well, I'll remind you, as always, to join our Patreon squad at patreon.com/dfinmedia. This week, we are, as you can tell, we're not at San Diego Comic-Con. But we do have some announcements that have come out of San Diego Comic-Con we're going to cover in this week's Patreon. So join us for that.
Basically, you could tell we're not at San Diego by the fact that even here in this audio medium, you can't smell us.
Exactly.
Yep. Because those Santa Ana winds come a-running. You can smell Comic-Con in Utah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's very true.
All right.
I will say, as I always do, until Spider-Man gets therapy, make mine Marvel.
For Hell's Kitchen.
For Stan.
There's coffee in that nebula.
For Asgard.